This episode references sexual assault and includes discussion about pornography. Listener discretion is advised. If you do feel affected by the topics we cover, check out the show notes for helpful resources and information.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Gabby. How are you doing?
This is You Don't Know Me. I'm Chloe Comby.
First of all, I wanted to say a massive thank you for sharing your story. It's super powerful and it's going to be really important to the show.
This week, we're coming in hard, as it were, talking pornography with a generation who have had unfettered 24/7 access to it, teenagers. Teens spend an average of 87 hours every year looking at porn online. That's 5,220 minutes a year, 14 minutes per day. And last year alone, Pornhub had 42 billion, yes, billion with a B, visits. And it's estimated by the age of 14, over 90% of teenagers have watched adult content. The most searched porn category is amateur, and the second, teen. Amateur porn basically means a non-professionally produced film, so maybe something shot on a webcam or even a phone. Millions of those clips are sent in by teenagers or are clips featuring teenagers. In 2012, I accidentally opened a kind of modern-day Pandora's box that would change my life forever. I was teaching at the time in a secondary school. As one of the young teachers the kids like, I was trusted and I heard things and I was shown things. Most of the kids by that point had a mobile phone. They were watching and sharing clips, and lots of those clips featured porn. So I started a sort of personal investigation and ended up writing a piece for a newspaper in the UK, a kind of tell-all of porn watching habits from the perspective of the kids. The piece went bonkers. Head teachers contacted me, worried parents contacted me, Bianca Jagger contacted me on social media, for God's sake. Everyone seemed to agree that we, and our kids especially, had inherited quite a serious porn problem. A study came out by the British Board of Film Classification this year, and it revealed that 75% of parents did not believe their children watched pornography. But the kids did watch adult material, and the parents themselves admitted to watching it too. So let's get it out in the open. We're all watching porn. In this episode, there are real stories from teens about their experiences with porn. You can expect to feel alarmed or maybe scared shitless, but that shouldn't stop you listening. Allow me to introduce to you the first generation that's been born into porn. Gabby is 17. She's well-spoken and polite. She's sporting that retro 90s look that's so popular again and reminds us millennials we're getting old. And she tells me about her solid group of very supportive friends. Freddie was similar. He was popular in school, charismatic and creative. They were normal kids, good kids. But good kids watch porn, lots of it. The story Gabby shared with me that you're about to hear is too sensitive to include the real identities of those involved. So we've kept them anonymous, using different names and a voice actor. She asked us to not even include where she's from because of the delicate nature of the events and those involved.
I first started seeing Freddie in year 10. I'm in year 12 now, and straight away it felt like it was going a bit too fast. The first time we kissed, he was quite aggressive, like shoving his tongue down my throat and shoving his hands quite aggressively up my top to feel my boobs, but being really rough.
This episode is not going to be about the joys and excitement of teen romance. This is less the fault is in our stars and more the fault is probably in the tech companies. If you thought you were familiar with the possible harm pornography could do to the minds of young people, listen on.
He tried to put his hands down my knickers too, but I stopped him. He got quite sulky and angry and told me I was frigid. He was in year 11. He was one of the oldest in the year and I was one of the youngest in mine. But both our years hung out quite a lot because there wasn't enough classroom space for all of our lessons, so they'd often combine lessons for things like PSHE and PE. So we became friends at first. And in every other way, he was completely different to how he was sexually. When we were just hanging out and before we started seeing each other, he was a completely different person. He was really sweet and funny and clever and just spent a lot of time with me, sketching me. He's a really good drawer and making up silly songs. He can make anything rhyme on the spot. He was just really, really cool as a friend. I think I should say that because this doesn't make him sound very nice. What I'm about to tell you. I think we started to like each other about a year before we properly started seeing each other. And I think he had a bit of a thing about me being nearly 16 before he asked me out properly. Things got quite serious, quite quickly, especially, sexually. It always seemed like he was sort of... I don't know how to explain this. But a bit crazed. When we were kissing and stuff. Like, you know, when you're really hungry and eat really fast, he was always like that and it wasn't that enjoyable. He just said it was because he fancied me so much and was so turned on. He wanted to move much faster than I did sexually. But everyone else was experimenting and there was so much joking about sex and pretty extreme stuff. Like, my friends would joke about deep-throating a banana or whatever. And that definitely came from how much porn the boys especially would watch.
What quickly became clear to Gabby was that Freddie, at the age of 16 then, was already in the grips of what she describes now as an addiction that was severely impacting his sexual behaviour. What also became apparent was the source of his addiction was hardcore pornography. Freddie, like a million other teenagers, had already been quite a heavy user of porn since the age of 12. Uncoincidentally, the age he was given his first mobile phone.
It wasn't that long until we were having sex, but rather than take that slow, that had to move at a million miles an hour too. Freddie wanted to try everything, and when I said I wasn't sure, he would get quite sulky and say everyone was doing it. I knew he watched a lot of porn, and a few times I'd watch it with him, especially when we were high, but he'd immediately want to start acting it out together, and I just didn't enjoy that kind of stuff. A lot of it really hurt. One time he slapped me really hard across the face, and another time he put his hand around my throat and literally kind of choked me, which really scared me. I absolutely hated it. And he got pissed off at me for getting upset, saying I was ruining it and I needed to be more open-minded and relaxed. It got to a point where I was thinking about breaking up with him, but I really liked him, apart from when we were having sex. I think it's fair to say that after about 5 months together, things got worse, not better.
This part of Gabby's story broke my heart. That's a parent's worst nightmare, right? Their kids doing things they feel uncomfortable with or cause them pain just because they've been peer pressured into it. Parents only want to protect their kids from harm, but when teens don't feel able to talk to their parents about sex, how can mums, dads, grandparents or guardians ensure their safety? Even more terrifyingly, how can they know if their child is inflicting pain on another?
Freddie went from watching a lot of porn that was a bit more just like sex to the much, much more extreme stuff. The porn stuff we watched before was mostly just really, really over-the-top sex, girls having screaming orgasms and giving a lot of head. But he got into really hardcore, like, anal gangbangs, choking, whipping, and worst of all, like, rape stuff. Where it was really convincing that the girl was being forced to have sex with one or a lot of people. There'd be actual crying and stuff. I just couldn't work out why he was so into it. He kept trying to get me to watch it, to try and get into it. But the more he tried, the more it freaked me out. We continued to have sex, but it just got darker and darker. He kept trying to choke me more and more and wanted to put things into my mouth and inside me. It was just beyond weird, and I knew it was coming from porn. But it was the anal sex that was Freddy's biggest obsession. I think by this time he was watching, like, stupid amounts of porn and always really, really extreme stuff. I think he was deep into the really dark, rapey and anal stuff. I honestly think he was watching porn the way most people watch Netflix. You know, like binge watching porn late at night. It was definitely doing his head in. He got absolutely obsessed with having anal sex and he just wouldn't stop going on about it. It was like he wanted to wear me down until I said yes, but I just knew I didn't want to. It was so upsetting because he was so sweet normally, and it was like he was just a different person sexually. And I know it was porn making him like this. I begged him to stop watching it, and he would brush me aside or deny he had a problem. In the end, I knew it was really bad and it wouldn't stop. So I broke up with him. He was really, really upset and bombarded me with messages absolutely everywhere to meet up with him. But honestly, even they were really dark. Sort of possessive, like he thought that I was his possession. He was entitled to me. It got so bad that I literally had to block him. And I was a bit worried about him. It only calmed down a bit when I started seeing this other boy who I think Freddy was scared of, and he left me alone after that. But that's not the end of the story. Something completely blew up between Freddy and another girl he was seeing. There were all sorts of rumours that he'd raped her or nearly choked her during sex, and I have no idea what the real story was, but I have a pretty good guess because of what he was like with me. It was bad enough that Freddy had to leave the school really, really suddenly, and everyone in sixth form had to sign something saying that we wouldn't post on social media or ask the girl involved for details. The police came in and gave us this talk about consent, but it was really stupid because no one really understood the context. But I definitely believe porn is a big source of the problem. Freddie was definitely addicted to watching porn and it messed with his head. I saw it firsthand. Lads wouldn't think about choking or rape or anal if they didn't see it all the time in porn. And I definitely think it's hurting way more people than anyone is admitting to. And more things are going to go wrong if people our age keep trying things they see normalised by porn.
Listening to Gabby's story, you may be thinking that Freddie's addiction to porn was extreme and uncommon. But what if I told you that the average age a boy first sees a pornographic film or image is now about age 9, usually shown by an older boy or passed around a friendship group? And for girls, it's about 11. That's years of seeing porn before even getting close to a real-life sexual encounter. So it's no wonder that porn is featuring high on teens' hierarchy of sexual influences. I don't think that means that teenagers are more sexually perverse than previous generations, though. Think about it. How many times did you look up rude words in dictionaries when you were little? And didn't you watch a porn vid one of your mates found in his dad's collection when you were a little bit older? Nothing has changed in that respect. Basically, today's teenagers watch porn because it's just so easy to access. Hundreds of girls in the making of this podcast, and boys, it isn't always one-sided, have described to me the pressure they feel from partners to perform the extreme sex acts they're seeing in porn. Doctors are reporting record numbers of sex-related injuries in teens. Anal tears, bruises around the throat, genital trauma. And they attribute these squarely with inexperienced teens trying to replicate what they see in porn. I'm learning that porn has made intimate, loving sex seem a bit passé, and more extreme sex seem normal. And whilst this is no way a judgment on what is and isn't normal sex, porn sex, done by young novices, is basically the sexual equivalent of giving a learner driver the keys to a Ferrari and letting them drive in Formula One. I needed to ask someone who'd investigated the effects of on-demand porn on viewers. So I reached out to a man who had done just that. If you want to be one of the tens of millions of people who've heard John Ronson speak about topics like how to tell if someone is a psychopath, you need to watch his brilliant TED Talks on YouTube. For his two podcasts, The Butterfly Effect and The Last Days of August, John investigated the porn industry, the treatment of aspiring and established performers, the rise of Pornhub, and its complex and varied audiences. We connected over Zoom while he was at home in New York.
This meeting is being recorded.
Well, I talked to a social scientist or a sexologist who said that erectile dysfunction in young people had risen by 1,000% since the advent of free streaming porn. Now, it is a controversial finding, I subsequently discovered. There's other people who really don't like him and his ideas. But he says there's obviously a correlation between the rise of streaming porn and the rise of erectile dysfunction in very young people, like age 16 to 24, I think it was. So why? I guess unrealistic expectations, maybe the way people view Pornhub. They've got lots of different tabs. Every aspect of watching Pornhub is nothing like the experience of actually having sex with someone.
The many, many times over the years I've discussed pornography with teenagers, I've tried to propose to them the idea that porn performers are kind of like sexual athletes. What they do sexually is just like what athletes do in sports. You'd be both crazy and deluded to try and keep up with them. But that message doesn't really impinge. Overexposure to something when you're still sexually inexperienced and malleable, it leaves an impression on the psyche. If you've watched a smorgasbord of exotic and hardcore sex acts with people who, let's face it, all look like flawless sex dolls, it's pretty inevitable that the reality of sex, the smells, the awkwardness, the hair, the fact that you're responsible for someone else's pleasure, all acts as a kind of a disappointment or a turn-off.
Do you think that that's dangerous? Do you think that's natural? Do you think that's inevitable? What's your thoughts about that kind of sexual odyssey?
I mean, I'm not a judgmental person and I'm not anti-porn. I'm not like pro-porn, but I'm not anti-porn either. I'm a humanist who just believes in, you know, the sort of sanctity of individual human life. But saying all of that, it does feel somewhat dangerous. You know, in the 50s, it was like weed will lead to heroin. And that was, you know, by and large, not true. But nowadays, if people say a bit of vanilla porn will lead to choking and abuse videos, that is true. I mean, that does happen. So, yeah, it does feel like a dangerous rabbit hole. I don't quite understand why Pornhub have been so resistant to trying to introduce some sort of age limit, you know, some kind of age verification.
Money, I imagine.
you can't imagine why, but obviously they haven't. And yes, it's entirely new. I mean, it's only people of my son's generation. My son's now 22. And I first heard the word Pornhub from him. He came home from school one day when he was like 11 or 12 and said everybody at school is talking about Pornhub. So yeah, it's clearly not great for pretty much every child in the Western world to get their sex education from this Wild West, this rabbit hole filled Wild West.
John's notion that porn is being used as a tool for sex education as well as titillation is absolutely spot on. Boys tell me that asking about sex is embarrassing, as it may show them up to be clueless, whereas girls are worried that an interest in sex will appear slutty. Inevitably, teens are going to go to porn for some degree of education or instruction. Over the years, I've talked to countless parents about this. How can they stop their kids gaining sex education from porn? And the answer is almost always honesty. I think we need to start accepting the fact that the vast majority of teenagers are going to watch porn at some point and discussing all the ways it isn't like real life sex. Freddie, for example, was clearly confused about the boundary between fantasy and the reality of his real-world girlfriend's feelings and well-being. Perhaps someone being honest with him about porn might have saved some of the catastrophe down the road. All that being said, sites like Pornhub are designed to pull you in the same way other social media sites are, and teens are very, very susceptible to their delights. It's like a siren's call. I wanted to talk to some teenagers who actually managed to resist the urge to watch pornography, as I was curious how they were managing this in an X-rated world.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Samuel is 18. He's a cool tool lad with a steady girlfriend. Through Zoom, I can see his room. It's the usual teen haven, a guitar, posters hanging on the wall, pictures of friends stuck to his wardrobe. But unlike most teenagers, Samuel abstains from porn because Samuel is a devout Christian. But is it hard to avoid porn and sex when you're a teenager?
Yeah, really, really difficult, because a lot of my close friends are non-Christians who are having sex, and one of their focuses is to have sex. So I'm going on holiday with a few of my mates. I'm going on holiday with my girlfriend, my two other friends, one of their girlfriends, and the other one is trying to find someone to bring. And one of the things that he said is he'd quite like to be able to have sex with her whilst he's away. And I'm just like, that's not even something that I think about right now. I was in a relationship for about 5 years, and we did do some things, and I regret some of the stuff that I've done within that relationship. But I'm now in a new relationship, and actually, while I say it's difficult, it's actually so much easier when I can see that I can properly see a future, and I can see that God's put her in my life for a reason.
What's your view of porn? I imagine a lot of your peers and friends consume a lot of porn. Is that just something you just disavow, you don't engage with?
No, I really struggle with it.
Really?
Yeah. It's really difficult. I think when a lot of secular culture is about sex and things, it's really difficult to then get away from it. And yeah, I don't really know. Like, I wish I didn't struggle with it. I think anyone who says they find it easy is lying, because, you know, as I said, we're all human. There's stuff in our DNA that's programmed to just want to reproduce, so of course we're gonna
have sex
that now and then. Yeah,
and you can't just switch off biological urge.
No. And I think a lot of the biological desires are influenced and enhanced by the culture that we live in. You know, a lot of the drinking, I know a lot of people who think, oh, I just, you know, want to get drunk because it makes me feel good, but that is because it's encouraged by the fact that that's how everyone feels. If people stopped feeling that, no one would feel it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this totally made sense. The idea that pornography has become a kind of shared spectator sport, something that teens encourage each other to do, whether for kicks, the yuck factor, or as an actual way of sharing desire, this interested me. The question I often ask teens is, do you actually like porn? One answer filled me with hope. Here's Izzy from North London.
I just think it's a bit overdone. I think it also gives like younger people like, very, very bad ideas about like what sex is, because what you're watching is extreme things. So you're watching like people who are very, very experienced because it's literally their job. And when a young person watches that, they might feel like that's how they should be having it. And also it's just not realistic. Like you watch women get literally like, they just have sex within like a minute. There's no warm up or anything. And it's just going to make your actual experience when it happens just so like shitty, basically, because it means that you're not preparing in like the way that you're supposed to, because you've watched someone else do it and you think that that's like how it is. I just feel like it's sort of a safe place for like bad ideas to grow. But I wouldn't criticize anyone really for watching it, but I don't really see that much appeal in it. Like, I just think it's sort of unnecessary, because you probably should like be able to learn about stuff like that through yourself, and you can like learn what you like and learn what other people like, and you can understand what like realistic sex is more than watching a sort of like faked show. Well, that's my opinion on it.
This is a generation not asking when am I going to have sex, but how am I going to have sex? Am I doing it like they do on Pornhub? Should I film myself having sex? Should I do anal? Do I send a dick pic? Why don't my genitals look like they do on my favourite porn performer? After speaking to hundreds of teenagers about porn, it's become clear that watching it from such a young age is creating a totally unrealistic view of sex for young people. There's no warmth, there's no giggling, there's no sexiness. What there can be is violence, coercion, and a total lack of consent. Porn promotes sex in a way that's radically changing how people have sex. If you are a parent, you're probably feeling pretty freaked out by now, wondering what the hell you say to your teen, who you now know is probably watching a lot of porn. If you want my opinion, talk to them. Have a frank discussion about the fact porn isn't real. How you talk to your teen about porn is totally up to you. But at the very least, you should be explaining to them that porn sex is about as realistic as the action is in the Marvel Universe. For teenagers, the internet is a huge source of education. It doesn't judge them for asking questions. Humans do. Porn is here to stay. And really, I think it's the intimacy, consent, and sex chat that needs to be updated. When I'm chatting to these kids, I'm always reminded that they know way more than you might know or expect. The key to levelling with teens is definitely an open and honest chat with a lot of really listening to them about their own experiences rather than trying to judge or control them. I mean, should we really be telling them not to watch porn when we're doing it ourselves? This is a Podomo podcast by Mermaid. I'm Chloe Combe. My producer is Rihanna Coleman. Our audio engineer is John Scott. And we've had production support from Gilly Archer. Thanks go to Sophie McQuillan, the actor who read Gabby's story for us. Hey, listener, whoever you are, if you're a parent or a teen, if you've ever been a teen, I want to hear from you. If you feel we've missed something, want to share your own experience, or have a question you'd like to be answered by a teen, I want to hear it. Grab your phone, record a voice note, and send it over to me at chloe@hellomermaid.com. That email's also in the show notes. Seriously, I will be listening to them all. I can't wait to hear from you.